fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to talk today, or continue to talk about this beautiful passage in first chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I'm talking about really the importance of receiving the Word of God and letting it feed us and letting it renew our minds, to be able to see yourself according to a fresh, new spiritual way of thinking, to see yourself with a renewed mind. It's at the heart of the process of personal transformation. The Scripture talks about being conformed to Christ, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're being exhorted to. And living in this world, in a fallen world, it's crucial that we put on the mind of Christ, because the world has its own mind about things. I've been talking about this week, its own way of thinking, its own way of living. And oftentimes, it's radically opposed to God's plan and the way of life that God has called us to in Christ, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus as his disciples. I've talked a little bit about this last week, talking about this week, because I am concerned as I travel, as I see and read, listen to people. There are many, many Catholics, many baptized Catholics, who, at least if you're to believe the polls, and the polls are really quite consistent, significant numbers of baptized Catholics live a way of life on the very important moral issues of our time, and even in an increasing way, live a life in relationship to God that's no different than people who don't even believe in God, and radically different from what we're called to in Christ, what we see in the New Testament, what we see in the lives of the saints. And so people are being evangelized, you might say counter-evangelized, by the culture. They're being won to the culture. And that's not surprising, because the culture is hugely impactful. We live in this world, and a culture is a way of life. It's the way of life of a people. And over the last 5-6 decades or more here in the United States, there's been a gradual, now a quite aggressive and accelerated, turning away from our former way of life, or a period of time in our history where there really was a kind of healthy fear of God. There was a kind of healthy acknowledgement of collective acknowledgement of what it means to live a good life. There was deep respect for giving to God what belongs to God. There were real patterns in the culture, mostly inherited and taken on from the biblical worldview, the Judeo-Christian worldview, about how to treat your neighbor and how to live, how to do business, how to raise a family. All that stuff was very present in people's minds, and now it's being thrown off, and it's at the heart of it, it's a flight from God. And the flight from God looks to people like it's the road to freedom. But the flight from God is to act against, it's a contradiction. It's to act against our own nature. It's to act against our own fundamental good. And the only reason we think it's a pathway, the culture thinks it's a way to happiness and freedom, is that it's begun to believe that God and the ways of God, at least what's been revealed and given to us, is an obstacle to my happiness. It's limiting. And anything that limits me becomes an obstacle to my happiness, because my happiness depends on my freedom. And the more radical my freedom, and freedom is always reduced to choice, freedom is limited to just that. And so as long as I'm choosing, I'm in the driver's seat to make all the choices, then I'm free. So when it comes to God, God is expecting me to choose for him. God is expecting me to, and as a disciple, as the scripture is very clear, I no longer live for myself. Galatians chapter 2, St. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God, who died for me. My life is simply not my own anymore. That scares modern man to death. The postmodern, in this postmodern culture, this post-Christian culture, because we believe that we've come under the anxiety again of a world that cannot see beyond this world. We can't see beyond the battle against death, the need to be completely liberated and to strive against death on our own resources. And what it does is it darkens our mind. Remember the passage in Luke, in that beautiful hymn that talks about the coming of Jesus, the dawn from on high, shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. Friends, when human beings are in that condition, in that place, and the only way to get beyond it is to see the light of Christ that's passed from death to light. He's dispelled the darkness. He went into the bowels of death and he declared his victory and he shed his light. And the light dispels the darkness. But when we reject God, we fall back into, again, Pope Benedict XVI was so clear in this, we fall back into a kind of slavery and bondage to the limiting horizon of death and darkness. And we can't see beyond what we know on our own resources because we've rejected revelation, the light that comes from what God reveals to us, and we fall back into slavery. It doesn't matter that we're boasting, pounding our chests and saying, we're free, you know, we're freer than ever. We're throwing off all these, even what people call natural limitations. There's nothing we can't do. Look how free we are. But it's a lie. It's futile. It's boasting and at the same time falling ever deeper into slavery because we're acting against our own good. We can't see who we are. We act as if we're the originator of our own existence, the definer of what this is all about. And that somehow we have a destiny, some progress, I guess, is what we would say. We hope in progress. We believe with our technology and our understanding and our power and our influence and our money, everything's going to keep getting better and we can make it all better. But that's nonsense. Look around. Really? Everything is getting better? I mean, look at just the time period of your own life. But we hide from the truth because we can't bear the truth. And we hide from it because we know now let me back up a second. I'm not saying every human being is consciously cutting God out of their life and saying, I personally decide I do not want to have a perception of God and values that come from God. I don't want any of that in my life. I want to reject him wholeheartedly. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when you absorb the culture that's moving in that direction, you begin to just think, it becomes the air you breathe, and you begin to imitate the habits of life and the way of life of people around you, which leads you to live differently, which will lead you to think differently, and it'll change your self-perception, and it'll slowly transvalue your values. It'll change your values and your definition of the good. It's happening all around you. Just stop long enough to take a look. You'll see it. So the key to it is to let the light of God penetrate the darkness again. This is why the recent popes have so strongly called us with such profound sense of urgency to a new evangelization. A new evangelization is, first of all, to reach those who are baptized, who are drifting away from the faith and falling into the kind of culture and way of life that I'm talking about. I mean, the statistics are there. People are leaving the church. The growth of the nuns, those who no longer identify themselves as having any religious affiliation, that number has grown dramatically since 1970s. It was 3% of the American population. In 2015, according to a Pew study, I think I mentioned this last week, it's reached 25%, 80 million Americans. But young people 30 and under, it's 40%. And baptized Catholic people in that age demographic, it's reaching almost 50%. Are now self-identifying as having no religious affiliation. They're being profoundly, profoundly impacted by the culture and drifting with the culture. It's very hard to resist it. And the only way you can resist it effectively is, first of all, to know who you are in Christ. And that implies knowing Christ, who he is. And knowing, this is why reading this Ephesians passage here, I'm going to just finish the little section in the last few minutes we have together, verse 13 of chapter 1, it says, in him you also, who have heard the word of truth about Christ the truth about who we are before God. He said the gospel of your salvation. Hurting, what's this word of truth? It's the good news of being saved by Christ. He said, those of you who've heard it and believed in it, he says, you have believed in him. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So the knowledge of God, of God's plan and purpose, comes to you through the good news, which was preached to you at some point in your life, communicated to you. And by the grace of God, you saw it, you grasped it, it began to change your life, and you repented of your sins, you entered the waters of baptism. You believed in him. When that happened, Paul says you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. That's what happens in baptism. You're sealing the sealing of the Holy Spirit with the holy chrism. Not only a sign, but the actual sealing happens there. And we're cleansed of the stain of original sin. And the victory of Jesus Christ on the cross, his death on the cross, is applied directly to your life and mine in that moment in baptism. And this gift of the Holy Spirit, Paul's making a key point here, is the guarantee, he said, of our inheritance. It's a down payment. It's a promissory note. What Jesus possesses in complete, superabundant reality. He is in glory, and he's taken in himself the body of flesh that he received from Mary, and that was his mother Mary, that was raised to glory. He's taken that body, Jesus of Nazareth, into heaven and is now existing in full glory, an entirely new existence beyond death. And so the gift of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father and the Son given to us. The one promised by the Father, by the Old Testament prophets, that the Messiah would come. Messiah means anointed. The one anointed with the Spirit would come and give to us a share in God's very life. Peter says, you have become partakers in the divine nature. Do you see how insane it is and how wicked it is when baptized people turn and walk away from what God has offered to them? They're acting against their own being, their own identity, and accepting the seductive lie of the devil, not knowing it's from the devil the vast majority of the time, but falling prey to a seductive lie that, freedom is in that direction. You must turn, walk away from what you've been given. And people walk away and they don't even know who they are. That's part of the problem. They haven't really internalized the reality of what God has done for them. And the Holy Spirit is a guarantee of an inheritance, which we will acquire and possess fully if we walk in Christ, if we live in Christ, and if we die in Christ. If we live in Christ, if we die in Christ. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to reveal Jesus to us and to give us a new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life. You are, in fact, a new creation. You have been born again by water and the Spirit. You have been given power to become a son and a daughter of God. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.